This is Richard Uzel, Pacifica director from Houston.
Hi, this is Jim.
Ah, hi, Jim. We are right on stream and ready for you to roll.
Cool.
We were
so
about
Jim,
to roll without
Althea
you.
Althea isn't on the phone tonight, and we're wondering if you would chair for us, please.
I would be glad to chair. I had asked Richard to chair if she wasn't able to join, and I wasn't here yet, so.
Okay.
Well, he was
your
just
timing is perfect.
He was just starting to chair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how about if, you know, I know you haven't officially started yet, but maybe if you can, Richard can at least set the stage for me to take over. So I don't know if you set the agenda or what have you yet.
No, we haven't.
Is that Jim?
The role yet.
Yes, it is Jim.
Hey, good deal. Good deal.
Okay. Have you? You must have been discussing things informally. Does anybody have any suggestions for the agenda?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. This is Secretary. I'd like to take the role.
Oh, feel free.
Okay.
Go for it.
The meeting was convened at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chandra Hopman?
Here.
All right. Joe Wanzala? Kim Kaufman? Lamont Leakey, Richard Uzel.
Here.
Jessica Polinar. Mitchell Cohen. Kathy Davis. Janet Coleman. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Teresa Allen is here. Dina Colbert.
Here.
Theo Wangaza. Jim Bennett.
Present.
Okay. Is there anyone who is a member of this group that I have not called their name?
Ursula's here.
Oh, thank you, Ursula, our affiliate coordinator. Thank you very much.
Also, I don't know if she is on, but Arlene said that she might be able to join us this evening.
Okay.
Terrific.
Should I try to call her to see if she'll join us, or
maybe
Maybe
someone else could call her.
I'm pretty sure she'll join us if she can. I mean, I'm happy to call her, but knowing Arlene, if she can do it, she'll show up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me tell all of you what I had suggested be on the agenda to Althea, since she was supposed to chair this evening. I guess first I should ask the secretary if there are notes to approve from the most recent meeting.
Oh, thank you for asking, but no. I'm sorry, but I have just been totally swamped.
Okay.
Please postpone them until our next meeting.
Okay. Well, I had two main things that I wanted us to cover tonight, and then we can add things to new business if need be. The two things would be a report from Ursula on the affiliates program, and also any information that can be shared with affiliates about the current status of Free Speech Radio News. And for that, we were hoping that Arlene would be able to join us as well to answer any questions that Ursula might not be able to answer. And then the second part was to have the subcommittee that has been working on the proposal to restructure the task force present their proposal for us to vote on this evening. And that's what I had for the agenda.
So moved. Without objection.
Okay, go ahead.
Two things I want to say. One is that I would like to use this line at 10 o'clock to make a call, and so I would appreciate if we could finish the meeting by 10. The other thing is that, Jim, if you could just say a word or two about what happened with the CPB, I think that would be very helpful.
I'll be glad to update people on the meeting that I had at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting last week in regards to the future of funding for public broadcasting. Maybe I should do that first. if people don't object to that, that might be good for us to hear right off the bat.
How much time do you feel you need?
I feel as if I can do that in 5 minutes. Okay. There may be questions from you that would extend it longer.
Okay. And then, Ursula, how much time do you feel you need?
I'll try and keep it to 10 minutes.
But the question I have for you, more importantly, is would it be better for us to put the proposal first in the hopes that Arlene comes online a little later when you are doing your report?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Would that help?
Sounds good.
That's fine. That's fine.
And then
maybe
you
can
time it
first.
Out so that we're out by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. I would like to, if possible, be out before 10 o'clock, but that's
okay.
Just me personally. So.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
This is Teresa. I do have a question here. As I understand it, the agenda is call to order, report from affiliate coordinator, report on the status of Free Speech Radio News, discussion on the proposed task force structure, set the next meeting and adjourn, and we've just moved to add...
Jim was going to talk about CPB funding.
We've moved to add that. Where are we putting that?
Well, we moved to have the discussion about the task force structure proposal to the beginning.
Right, right.
Followed by my brief report about CPB funding, then followed by Ursula, and then possibly Arlene joining Ursula for
FSRN.
All right,
okay. Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
So I would like to turn it over to whoever wants to be the spokesperson for the work that the subcommittee has put together for a proposal for restructuring the task force.
Dina?
Well, I propose that Campbell do it since he was chair of the subcommittee.
Okay. I will, the latest date that we had was... Which one? I'm trying to figure out.
Sent it tonight.
Richard sent it tonight. Oh, so let me just get over here and I will get that. Oh my darn computer! It logs me off so quickly. This thing, Verizon, is just not my thrill thing. Well, the idea of this is to have the kind of steps that we would be taking as a task force that would relate to being able to have a structure and a modus operandi that would be serving the Pacifica mission and the advancing the issue of the opportunities for and well-being for the affiliates. So that was in a very basic kind of context. And let's see, Richard, the attachment is, did you paste it below here? Okay, I'm clicking it open now, and should have it momentarily.
Richard, it would be better. You have sent it through the Yahoo group. I'm having a hard time opening the most recent version. So if you want me to use that, it would be better if you just cut and paste it and just put it on an email and sent it to me.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
No, Mr. Chair, meaning Campbell, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're talking, I would like to move that we adopt this proposal that we're searching the files for.
Has everyone seen the proposal that is on the call this evening?
I think most of us worked on the proposal that happened to be on this call.
I'm being a very polite chair. I'm asking the appropriate question.
Yeah, the person who wasn't on the last part of the committee meeting was Teresa. So it's important that she take a look at this. And
and it was sent out on, I'm sorry.
Well, I've seen the version that was dated November 29th.
There are changes since then.
I know.
It's coming, Risa. I'm trying to get it to you.
I'm still waiting on that. Just
wait. I don't know.
No, well, okay. The basic notion of this is that it's we're to be consistent with the Pacifica mission, and that the mission of the task force is to facilitate communications between all parties within Pacifica and the Pacifica affiliate network to advance the practice and pursuit of sustaining and expanding grassroots community radio. The task force shall strive to increase the capability of the Pacifica affiliate network through an exploration of mutual benefits by working together, sharing programming, resources, information, and economic stability. So this is the basic mission of it. Our membership is that anyone from an affiliate station or Pacifica's network is welcome to participate in the task force as long as they follow the principles. And there are stated principles here which relate to each of them. All of them relate to respecting others in the network, and I think that's something that should be, should go without saying, but it's expressed here so that there isn't any confusion, that we're going to be having voting. Since it's such an open organization, it's important to have some coherent means of voting, and so that we've asked that three consecutive meetings would be required for someone to be allowed to vote. And so that's the point there. Now this one, our second sentence in that is what I had raised question about before, but we can come back to that. The policy recommendations, policy recommendations will have to be made by a vote of the body, the task force, working as a collaborative body, and that's so reports would on the task force would be approved by the task force before they're given, and that in terms of operations and subcommittee structure, we're looking at the means whereby we would operate, and we have two subcommittees right at present, the survey subcommittee for gathering information on needs, and the subcommittee for financial development, which are recommended in response to the needs and of that we come up with insofar as what's necessary for us to achieve our mission.
The only question I have there is, do we have a word that I just haven't read, that those subcommittees are currently the ones being developed, but that can change the needs? Do we have something giving it flexibility?
Well,
the subcommittees are only recommendations. They're not saying those are the subcommittees.
Okay, that's all I wanted to make sure.
And we recommend this at this time.
Yeah, they're currently being recommended. Should we put and remain flexible?
No. Okay. I think that's, being too squishy.
Okay, okay.
Currently being recommended.
I'd like to move that this proposal be accepted and forwarded to the PNB next week for their approval.
Second.
Are there any objections?
With any objections? There we go.
Hearing none, then it is passed, and it will be forwarded to the PNB.
Thank you. Now, one thing I would like to raise for the task force to consider, and that is under the voting co-meeting facilitators and monthly meetings section, There's a statement here that says, in terms of electing co-meeting facilitators, that refers to parenthesis, who shall be PMB directors who are elected members of the task force. I don't know that, you know, we have a mechanism to necessarily have elected members of the task force. I know that on the committees that, you know, applies, but, you know,
they're
the task
appointed,
force,
aren't they? Are they elected or appointed?
Technically, they're elected. I was elected, technically, but it's pretty much an appointment.
Okay.
And can be self-appointed. You know, because I don't think anybody said, hey, Campbell, want you to do thus and so. I just kind of indicated that that's what I wanted to do. And nobody closed the door in my face. So that's just one thing that I was thinking, you know, do we want to add that formality in here as it relates to PMB directors, or do we want to keep it less formal?
There is a formula. We're not just totally goosey gander on this. There is a formula, and at the first meeting of the PMB, when people are choosing the committees they want to serve on, usually the group from each station decides among themselves who will represent the station on whatever committee or task force. And in that process, I added my name, and nobody else wanted to do it from Houston. And so it was approved. So technically it was elected, but there was no real
election.
Let me
ask you how that works then for the affiliate directors who come on the board. How do they get elected? I mean, to this committee, as opposed to being elected to the board.
I think that both affiliate director, and Jim, you can correct me on this, I think both of them are immediately members.
They're automatically on this committee, or on this task force, I should say.
Yeah, affiliate directors are. But insofar as other directors, you know.
Was that put in formally to the PNB? Because that wasn't the way it was in the very beginning.
It knows about it.
I don't think it's formally. I think that's something that, you know, may have. That's what I'm saying. I just had written my name down. So,
okay.
Teresa, did you get your copy?
Yes, I'm having a little bit of problem with it, but I've got it. Thank you very much.
And we had two directors from WPFW. I didn't know that Alonzo was a member of the task force at all, and didn't find out until, I guess it was when he attended a conference call to resign.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What a pity, because you could have worked with each other.
But Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that PNB directors can choose what committees they would like to be on, and also if they would like to be on the task force. And I think, isn't it there a maximum of participation on three, including the perhaps two committees and the task force, but no more than three? Isn't that...
No, there's one person from each station on the committees, and I don't know how many it is on the task force, but that's a formula. You know, like I said, it very often is, 99% of the time it's just whichever one you pick, the other people at your station say, okay, you do that. But it's technically an election, because if somebody else wants to, you know, there are two people, and you can't make a decision, then it's decided in this election. It's one of those elections, just like you just did the election on approving this. You know, it's, does anybody object?
Right. And what I do know about the affiliates directors is that I was told that I was on the task force, and that I could choose two other committees to be on. And I chose two other committees, and then someone recommended me for an additional committee other than the two. And some people felt that that third committee I shouldn't be on, so they asked me to not be on that one as well. So
that's interesting.
And I'm sure, you know, basically two committees plus the task force plus being on the PMB really is enough.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm on three committees and the task force.
That's too much.
The thinking behind putting that clause in there is that if somebody just appeared and they were a PNB person, but they weren't the person that their station chose to represent the that could be problematic. You know, it could be somebody coming in reading campers.
The thing is that the station isn't choosing people to be on there. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, they do. The
station never chose me to be on.
Bad choice of words. When I said station, I meant the other people, the other directors in your group from your station, the other three directors.
They never chose me. I chose myself. And, you know, as I was saying,
right. But Campbell, in that meeting, there was an election. There was an election between you and Alonzo.
And that apparently was for the finance committee.
Okay.
That was for the finance committee, which was what we thought, the rest of us from WPFW thought we had an understanding that I was going to be on the finance committee. But someone talked with, this is Pacifica politics, okay? Now, I can see a reason for having some kind of engagement in this regard, but I just want to be clear as to why we have this thing of saying that, you know, someone should be PMB directors who are elected members of the task force. But then we need to be clear about what is an elected member of the task force. That's the point I'm raising, that I'm not clear on what that is.
I'm sorry, everybody. This is Teresa. I have quite a bit of experience in how this has happened, but I am kind of cutting and pasting and trying to do the minutes, and so I have not paid attention to the discussion. So I'm sorry that I can't help you, because it should be fairly simple as to how you get on committees, and it should be fairly consistent among the different local station boards. And I'm so sorry that you had a problem with that last year.
On committees is one thing, but on the task force, you know, it isn't governed by the bylaws. Mm-hmm. So, you know, therefore, and as we were discussing it, you may recall, we were looking in particular that it would be rather open, you know, so that it could be inclusive. But by the same token, as I'm reading this and considering how Pacifica politics can work.
Mr. Chair, could I make a motion?
Yes.
I move that taking the comma out after directors, the words "who are elected members of the task force" be struck.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Can you read the sentence now as you would reword it?
The task force will elect co-meeting facilitators who shall be PMB directors. And his secretary, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds good. Seconded? Yes?
Second.
Any objection? Okay.
This is Teresa. Richard, can you possibly... Well, If you can't send that to me, cut and paste and change it, or write it down, then I'll just have to listen to the tape and change it in the minutes from there.
I'll send it to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're on to Ursula's report now, I guess.
We were going to have a brief discussion update from me about my meeting in Washington, D.C. last week.
Right.
Where
about
Campbell Hill was pretty cold.
Medicine. I mean money.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the situation is that really and truly what CBD told me was that the most serious threat that has ever been seen to the future of public broadcasting is now. The federal funding for all of public broadcasting, it's going to be a really strong and hard fight to be able to keep it. And then also many stations are facing the double prong threat of losing any state funding that they might have. And in fact, it was an observation that I brought up that CPB agreed, it will probably be a two-pronged strategy where the state governments that have funding for public broadcasting will imply that they must fall in line with the initiative at the federal level and eliminate funding for public broadcasting. And on the federal level, they will say that we must follow the example of what the states are doing in terms of being fiscally responsible by cutting public broadcasting. So they're going to play it both ways. I'm sure that's not a surprise to any of you. They are saying that even with Pacifica stations and a lot of community stations where a majority of our funding comes from listeners, there's still a good chunk of money for all the five Pacifica stations plus affiliates around the country that comes from at least the federal government. This attack is actually much more serious than it was when Newt Gingrich was around in 94, partially because of the economy, partially because of the way in which the Tea Party has flourished, where more and more people think that anything that is attacked is the right thing to attack. More and more people feel that the federal government should cut anything that's excess. And what public broadcasting has to do on the local level is that you have to really build a case about how your local station is vital and important and serves the community and is a valuable service that is distinctive from any other public service in your area. And you actually have to not kowtow to, but you have to actually court people that you don't think have any awareness of you that are on, in your state government or in your Congress. Your representatives, you have to at least let them know who you are. You have to invite them to events, even if you know that they will not come. If somebody from their office comes, then you're making the correct step to try to inform them of what you do. The more awareness you can create of how valuable you are to the community that you serve in very vital ways, the better it is, but you also better not do it alone. So if there are other public broadcasting outlets in your area, you need to collaborate with them to show why each and every one of them is a valuable service. And the other thing that's important, which I think is not a problem for Pacifica stations, but one thing that someone in a state government or a state government official or a federal official will look at is if there is duplication of programming service in a particular area. So if there are two stations and you both carry the same programs within an area, we're not talking about a Pacifica station in Houston and one in Washington, D.C. We're talking about if there are four or five public stations in Houston, if some of those stations carry one or more of the same programs, that's not good. You have to have distinctive programming in order to be an essential service. They will consider, let's say two stations in Houston carry BBC News. They will say that that's double dipping. You're paying BBC News twice. Why do you need to do that? So they'll say that's a misuse of CPP funds. Defund that station. And it can be over a single, simple, one program.
Jim, does it matter if one of the stations is not a CPB-funded station?
No, it probably doesn't, because they don't know what's CPB and what's not.
Who doesn't? Congress?
Yeah. Not unless you tell them. If they don't know who you are, they're going to lump you in. They're going to say Big Bird is bad. This is a Big Bird station. Get rid of Big Bird. You know, they don't know. They don't know NPR from CPB or Pacifica. Some of them do.
So if you have a station, an affiliate playing Democracy Now, and then you have a low power station in the same city playing Democracy Now, that's a problem?
I don't think that is a problem, because they probably aren't really. They're not going to pay much attention to low-powered FM, although they probably think that that shouldn't exist. They're really going to look at, let's say there's a big NPR station in town, and then let's say there's a Pacifica station in town. If for some reason there was something that you both carried, which would probably not be Democracy Now!, but let's say it's like some BBC program or something.
Well, here we have KALW, KQED, both in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and I believe they both carry Democracy Now!, and then we have KPFA carrying Democracy Now!.
Did KALW start carrying Democracy Now!?
Huh?
Did KALW start carrying Democracy Now!?
They don't. Maybe they don't. So
no, Democracy Now! Is usually only carried by one station. It may be on television as well.
That's not true, because Democracy Now! Has been known to sell their program to the same city where our affiliates are.
Democracy Now! Is not really on their radar in the same way that NPR programs are. Now, they may think that Democracy Now! Is an NPR program, and so they may hate NPR more because they don't recognize the difference between Pacifica and NPR. But it really is a question of education and information. They have to know who you are in order for them to have more of a consideration of what you do. And if they don't know who you are, they're going to shoot from the hip. That's why you really have to make a concerted and coordinated effort with in fact, other stations to represent the vital service that you provide that's distinctive from what they do. They got to know what matters to you, what matters to your listeners. And you're really going to have to do this. All Pacifica stations and all community stations, as well as all NPR and PBS stations, are going to have to do this. And if for some reason there are things that you are doing on a regional level with other stations, and Ursula, if there's low-powered FM stations that are sharing programming or doing events together or whatever, those are really good things for them to trumpet. Anytime you're doing things that, together that are community building, those are really, really important and vital things to share.
So audio port really is a key factor here for affiliates and the five sister stations?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
question. It seems to me that if you're doing the same thing that another station is doing in your area, that the immediate argument is redundancy.
That is correct. But what I'm saying is, if you are doing something together, such as you're doing a town hall meeting, or you're putting another station on the air, or you're having a youth fellowship program where people are working at your station and then they're working at their station or whatever. So if you're doing something that's actually for the common good, that's not per se sharing the same program, but you're actually doing something in the community that you're cooperating or coordinating, you're doubling up to make it a more powerful thing, those are really good things to do. Even if it's something like you're doing something where you're cooperating to make sure people know about emergencies. So if you have a regional emergency plan that you're part of that shows that you're a vital link in getting information out to people in the case of a disaster, that's a really important, which seems rather mundane compared to some of the other things that we try to do, but those are the kinds of things that lawmakers go, oh, okay, these guys are doing something that's going to help people in the event of emergency. That's about one of the only areas that they really, really care about, that's going to set off bells and whistles.
What about the numbers of PSAs and the numbers of outreach events? You have a table at the local
outreach events, community events, those are all very, very important. You've got to spell those out. What do you do? Do you do anything other than just get on the air and talk? Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Okay.
I had an email from Arlene. I think she can probably join us in a few minutes.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Jim. I remember when Juan Williams was fired, it seemed as though a nanosecond later, Senator DeMint was trying to find out to what extent CPB was paying for NPR, and response came back to only 2%, you know. But if for some reason, like, you know, Al Jazeera and the Muslim backlash in America, and it seems to me as though a Tea Party is just, you know, licking its chops, waiting for some fresh meat, that Pacifica could be a tidbit offered up. And I know that you may recall that in terms of engaging the subject matter, we were talking with our attorney, Krigler, about it, and then it seemed as though an email that I had read last, maybe 3-4 days ago, indicated that, in terms of introduction, this was from Arlene, that she was saying that CPB said, well, it should be kind of low-key for the, Al Jazeera introduction. And I'm, number one, surprised that we're just now engaging that possibility, which you may recall I tried to share with our CNB as being a concern several months ago. But, I'm just wondering if DeMint is not someone who is going to be the Jesse Helms of this era.
It's entirely possible that it might be him or someone else, but I will actually send you an email that someone wrote about out in California about debunking some of the myths that came up in the Juan Williams firing about the funding of public broadcasting, and it's a very good letter, and it gives you some talking points are very appropriate to share with others who might feel the same way that people were somehow wanting to blame all of public broadcasting for what NPR did and that it should be defunded. So it's a very good letter to have. And the more, there's also a plan that the National Federation of Community Broadcasters has come up with in terms of an advocacy campaign to prove the worth of your station and how you go about it and things that you should do. So I will share that with the PNB and with the task force. So I have four or five documents that I can share. I know that some of the, I believe at least a couple of the Pacifica stations, the five stations, are not members of NFCB, so you wouldn't get this otherwise, but I will be able to share it with you.
Jim, will you share it with me too, please?
Absolutely. But it's really good. It just came out today, and there was a webinar on it that I was a part of yesterday. And they do say it would be good for you to collaborate with other stations in your area to get your message across about how all of you are vital. It's certainly important for you to show how individually as a station you are important, but you really shouldn't try to do it alone, because they will definitely try to conquer and divide. So they'll say, okay, which station is the best station? Oh, it's that one over there. Let's get rid of these others. Let's make sure these are defunded and this one isn't. So you really have to do a certain amount of unity around this important issue.
Now, are you expanding that to include, like, NPR-type stations that we should be kind of trying to bond with?
You absolutely should, because if you don't do that, I can guarantee that, if you sort of feel like there's no way that the NPR station would have anything to do with you, that's possible some areas, I would imagine. It might be a lost cause, but if you can bridge a communication with them that there are some instances of this that you would like to do together. So, for instance, the supporters of two stations together is much stronger than the supporters of just one station. So if basically there's a movement to save all of public broadcasting in the Washington, D.C. area, that's much more effective than please save our station. Was that, is that Arlene joining us?
It is indeed.
Very good. Thank you very much. I was just giving people an update on information that I got at CPB last week, and Arlene, I will pass on some handouts that NFCB put out in the last couple of days to you as well, and I was going to send them on to the PNB and also to the task force. Since we have you on the call now, Ursula, would you like to talk about Free Speech Radio News first, and then if Arlene has any information that you don't have answers to, maybe she can chime in? That sound good, Ursula?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Maybe what I'll do just real quick before that, just for Arlene's benefit too, is to do a rundown of newest affiliates. I don't think I've really had a chance to talk to Arlene about it either.
Yeah, why don't you do your whole thing, and I'm sure Arlene can probably stay for a little bit, so we can go ahead and do your thing, and then whatever you want to say about the affiliates program, and then go into FSRN, unless Arlene has to leave in the next few minutes.
Yeah, I'll be glad to hear that. Thanks.
Okay.
It'll be real brief, just in order of latest affiliation.
I'd like to say something. I would like to tell Jim, thank you so much for that report. That's very useful information.
Yes. I'm glad to do it, and it's really crucial and vital that we band together. So,
can you tell me approximately how many other stations were there getting that information?
Well, this was a small group meeting. There were about 12 to 15 stations there, and a lot of it had to do with those stations being relatively new in terms of managers. Finding about the correct way to do reporting to CPB and all the paperwork that you have to do and all the accounting procedures that you have to follow. And then the second part of it was the part that I talked about. So it was a small group meeting.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
so our most recent affiliate, who affiliated 2 days ago, is WQVRLP in Southbridge, Massachusetts.
Yay.
And prior to that, on December 2nd, WHYRLP in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I've asked those folks to send in their story. They have a very, they're kind of a, an infamous and now famous group because they are literally the last of the low power stations being built, progressive ones at least. I don't know about the religious right, but you know, from our crowd, and that's because they had this strange situation where somebody on their board kind of took the license out from under them and passed it to a religious group, and it was this kind of infamous story of kind of an underhanded situation.
I didn't even think that person was a member of their board.
Yeah, it was some strange story. It was very sad. And anyway, they got it back legally. So they are going on the air. I don't think they are on the air yet, but they are just on the verge of going on the air. And they affiliated on December 2nd. And then I think I told you the last meeting about WLRI in Gap, Pennsylvania. They affiliated November 6th. And then there's another group in Redding,
California.
GAP? GAP. Okay. And then there's a group in Redding, California that is in the process of affiliating right now. They are not, they haven't officially done it, but they are a new station going on the air. And they're actually an offshoot of one of our current affiliates in California.
You said
so that's
Redding, Redding, California?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ursula, that's wonderful news. How many does that bring our affiliate count to?
To be honest, I don't really know because I'm going, together with the national office, they and I are going through this process of trying to figure out who actually is signing contracts, and it's everything's kind of in flux right now. So until we actually get these contracts signed, we don't know because a lot of times people don't sign contracts because they just forget. And so it's this process of, you know, it's a very labor-intensive process of getting everything nailed down. So until that's finished, I really don't know.
Have we lost a lot of stations?
We lost quite a few stations in the last 2 years, but we also gained quite a – we're actually gaining stations at an accelerating rate. And so I would guess we're somewhere close to 160 now.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are we losing them because of money considerations?
We lost them last year for a number of reasons. Partly it had to do with dissatisfaction with Pacifica. Partly it had to do with some stations going under.
Hmm.
It was kind of a combination of both. You know, and then
I might
other,
just...
there's other odd reasons that just, you know, just has nothing to do with anything. It's just, you know... I don't, you know, some things happen that program directors change or, you know, some things you just, there's just no explaining it. It's just, things just change at the station. Or the station is sold or something like that.
And if I can, I might just speak up and also acknowledge Angie's efforts here in the office. She's a volunteer that comes in during this season, sometimes 4 to 5 days a week, and her sole work is with the affiliates and keeping track of their agreements and their payments.
And she does a great job. She's very efficient. So you know, she work. I mean, her job is to bill, right? She does the billing.
Mm-hmm. She does the billing. She does the processing their agreements, and she keeps the records.
Yeah, she keeps really great records. Mm-hmm. So she keeps me pretty updated on who's signed and who hasn't, which makes my life a lot easier.
And she does that as a volunteer?
She does that as a volunteer. Her husband works for us, and she comes in with him many days and works the entire day.
What a great service to community radio.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
She's actually trained as an accountant in the Philippines.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. And she's part of the karaoke crew, too, which is very cool.
Yes.
Is this Efren's wife, by chance?
Yes.
Yeah. You have a karaoke crew at the Pacifica office?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know that? How can you not know that? You live in Berkeley.
These days, what is the song that is most often sung?
I've never heard them sing.
Oh my
I want
God.
To know what the song is number one on the karaoke machine in the Pacifica office.
You're what is
culturally disadvantaged.
I want to know what the song is.
Oh, Chandra, you're missing a whole cultural part of Berkeley that is the Philippine connection to karaoke. It's quite something.
And
anyway, no, I'm serious. We had a party at after the PNB meeting, and it was fabulous. They brought it, and it was really incredible.
I had to shut it down at midnight because I was afraid the neighbors were going to start complaining.
George
Arlene,
Ryder
what song
was,
did you sing?
I didn't sing.
Oh, we sang. You should have heard George Ryder. What did he sing? He sang something very moving. Anyway.
we digress.
Moved me right out of the backyard.
Anyway,
as chair of this task force tonight, I will be conducting the auditions later, so perhaps we can move on with more of the report.
Is this also going to require money under the table?
I became convinced that if you want to bring the left together, make a karaoke machine with left music, leftist, like union music and
what the International
Arlo Guthrie.
The Texas contingency at that gathering sang, wish they could all be California girls.
Okay. Were you singing, Richard?
I said no such thing.
Sort of.